Amen. Please be seated. Our gospel lesson is from the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 8, verses 16 through 18, where we continue in our Sunday morning series in the gospel according to Luke, and where Luke, led by God's life-giving and light-giving Spirit, wrote these wonderful words of life and light. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 16. Jesus said, "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Almighty God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks that you who said, "Let there be light," have made your light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of your glory and your grace in the face of Jesus. As we look into the light of your word, grant us the help of your Holy Spirit, that we may see the light of your Son, that we may confess that which the light exposes, and that we may receive the light of his grace and gospel to the transformation of our lives and the transformation of your world. Help us to shine the light of Christ in love and in word and deed for a world darkened by sin. Only you can do this by your Holy Spirit. So we earnestly ask for the help of your Spirit. Through Christ alone we pray. Amen. Well, on this Reformation Day, we join with Christians around the world who give thanks for the life and labors of stalwarts of the faith, imperfect men, sinners saved by grace, redeemed by the blood of Jesus. They all would have been the first to admit that, but used mightily to advance the gospel of free and saving grace. And we give thanks for the wonderful truths of that gospel that were championed by servants of Christ like Martin Luther. We owe a lot to Luther, or to God, for what he did through Luther. Much of what we can easily take for granted as Protestant Christians, and indeed as those who live in a free society today. Think of the five solas of the Reformation, sola scriptura, of which the choir sang earlier, along with some of the other solas of the Reformation. Sola scriptura, scripture alone, not the opinions of men, as our ultimate authority. Solus Christus, Christ alone, not popes or any other men, as Savior and Head of the Church. Sola gratia and sola fide. Christ alone, a grace alone, through faith alone, rather than our works, as the means of our salvation. Soli Deo gloria. God's glory alone, not our boasting, as the ultimate goal of salvation and of all things. And along with all that, freedom of conscience and its attendant liberties, freedom of thought and speech and religion, not to mention the dignity of all lawful vocations. I was watching a football game yesterday and a Chipotle ad came on. And as a young man, he's flipping chicken on the grill. Have you seen this? And he says, "I take pride in my work. I love what I do. I take pride in my work. I take pride in the food that I prepare for other people." And I thought, you have Martin Luther to thank for that. The dignity of all work. It's not relegated to just priests or monks or nuns or those whose full-time vocation it is to be in the church. No, the dignity of all work. That's Martin Luther reclaiming that wonderful biblical truth. The dignity of marriage and the blessing of congregational singing. Do you enjoy singing congregational hymns? You can thank Martin Luther. When you get to heaven, you're going to have a lot to thank Martin Luther for. And ultimately, thank God for what he did through him and others like him. And to ask the Lord, okay, Martin Luther was frail, he's a human being. He's a sinner, saved by grace. If you can use him, well then you can use me. Maybe not to translate the Bible, maybe so. Maybe not to write volumes, but maybe so. Maybe not to preach, but maybe so. But you can use me and the gifts you've given me to advance the light of your gospel. So this morning we consider, along with our passage this morning, another saying of the Reformation, really the battle cry of the Reformers, namely post-Tenebras Lux. After darkness, light. After darkness, light. The saying appears in a slightly different form in the Latin Vulgate translation of the Bible. In Job chapter 17 and verse 12, where Job said, "Post tenebras spero lucem, after darkness I hope for light." After the darkness of loss and confusion and doubt and the scorn of his so-called friends. John Calvin said, "Job's friends only knew one song and they sang it to death." They were saying, "Job, you must be really bad. You must have a lot of secret sins in order for all this bad stuff to happen to you." They couldn't imagine a righteous sufferer. So Job is on the ash heap. He's on the dunghill. He's in the darkness of confusion and doubt and scorn, and he hopes that light will come, and light did come. The light of restoration, the light of the restoration, ultimately of God's smiling face, the light of God's countenance. Job feels it once again. But for the reformers like John Calvin, the motto post tenebras lux celebrated what was happening through the time of the Reformation. Relative, not complete, but relative and real spiritual darkness had set in. But by grace, it was being replaced by spiritual light. The legalistic teachings of men that were binding men's people's consciences and giving them no hope of assurance of salvation. The legalistic teachings of men were being replaced by the gracious gospel of Jesus Christ. The darkness that had been brought about by increasing superstition was being displaced by the light of eternal and unchangeable truth. The phrase post-tenebras lux even appeared on coins in Calvin's adopted city of Geneva, Switzerland. It continues to be the motto of the University of Geneva to this day. So with the testimony of the reformers, that as they are part of that great cloud of witnesses, cheering us on, as it were, the ones upon whose shoulders we stand. With that in mind, let us consider the passage before us this morning, a post-Tenebras Luke's passage under two headings. First, Christians are those who have received light. And second, Christians are called to be those who shine light. First, Christians are those who receive light. Christians are not by nature possessors of divine light, the light of God's truth. Christians are by nature, because of the fall, like all people who dwell in darkness. Those who are marked by the effects of the fall, including hearts and minds darkened by sin. We are by nature like all mankind, as described by St. Paul in Ephesians 4:18, darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. That is who we all are by nature. But grace has saved the day. Grace to the rescue. Because of Jesus, we now know, as Christians, the truth of Isaiah 9:2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. That's our testimony as Christians. In the words of Colossians 1, beginning in verse 12, we give joyful thanks to God our Father, who has enabled us to share in the inheritance of His saints in the kingdom of light. Do you give thanks to God your Father joyfully because you are in the light? Is that your M.O.? Joyful thanks to God the Father, because you are in the kingdom of light. For He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness. Do you give joyful thanks to your Father because He's delivered you, set you free, rescued you, saved you from the dominion of darkness as a Christian, and transferred us in the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of all our sins. So, as Christians, individually and corporately, we are a post-Tenebras Luke's people. We once lived in darkness, the darkness of unbelief, enslavement to sin. Maybe this was for a brief time as an infant and a toddler. We came to know Jesus very early in life. Don't know a time when we didn't know Jesus. Or maybe this was later in life. But whatever the case, by nature, we were in unbelief. We were in deadness in our trespasses and sins. We were enslaved to the ways of this world, the opinions of others, and the power of the devil and the fear of death. We were enslaved to that domain of darkness. But now we live in the light of the gospel and freedom from the guilt and power of sin, and freedom in Christ, assurance of the Father's love, the light of the Father's countenance shining upon us in Jesus, and the light of the Spirit speaking through the Word, illumining our walk with Christ. In John 8:12, Jesus said, I am what? The light of the world. It's one of the great I am sayings of Jesus. I am the light of the world. And you know, as Christians, that makes perfect sense to us. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the light of the world, comes into the dark world. Darkness can't overcome His light. He's the light of the world. Yes, Jesus, we readily confess that. You are the light of the world. But what does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 to His disciples? You
are the light of the world. We say, wait a minute. I thought you were the light of the world. What's going on here?
When you become connected to Jesus by faith, His light makes you light. And you are the light now of the world. Jesus is ascended. But by His Spirit working in you, you, dear Christian, are the light of the world. Apart from Christ, we're in darkness. Connected to Christ by faith, we are light. The lamp of our life has been lit by the light of Christ. We are a post-Tenebras Lux people. So in the first place, Christians are those who receive light. In the second place, Christians are likewise those who shine light. Jesus put it this way in verse 16 of Luke chapter 8. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or some kind of opaque container, or puts it under a bed. This was like a cot or a mat that you would roll up that would certainly snuff out the light. But puts it, this light, this lamp, on a stand, so that those who enter the room may see the light. Now, the Greek word for lamp here is the word leuchnos. You hear that word, the Greek word, related to the Latin word lux. And the word for stand or lampstand is the word leuchnia, also related to that Latin word lux or light. Jesus was saying, don't hide the light of the gospel that you have received. Don't hide the light that you have, but share it for all to see. Share it. New Testament scholar William Hendrickson describes the type of lamp and lampstand Jesus was referring to when he writes, the lamp Jesus referred to was often a terracotta saucer-shaped object with a handle on one end. On the other end, there was a nozzle-shaped extension with a hole for a wick. In the lamp's upper surface, there were two holes, one for adding oil, the other for air. The lampstand was generally very simple. It might be a shelf extending from the pillar in the center of the room, or a single stone projecting inward from the wall, or even a piece of metal conspicuously placed and used for the same purpose. So that gives you an idea of what Jesus is talking about. Jesus' point was, just as a lit lamp does not fulfill its purpose if it is hidden under a container or a mat snuffing out the light, so we do not fulfill our purpose if we do not share with love in word and deed the light of the good news of Jesus with others. Those with whom we interact every day. Those with whom we do interact every day may try to conceal their sin. That's the natural way before we come to Jesus, that we deal with our sins, conceal their sins. Or maybe they rename their sins. They call that which is evil good. They glory in, even in their sins. And they may believe that they will never be held accountable for their sins. But what did Jesus say in verse 17 of our passage? He said, nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. The day of revelation and reckoning is coming, because Christ is coming again to judge, as we confessed earlier, the living and the dead. All will come to light as we confess in our confession of sin earlier. We confess our deepest secrets are open before you. Our deepest secrets are open before you. So we can either get real with Jesus now about our sins and confess the secrets of our heart to Jesus now, the sins of our life to Jesus now, and in so doing receive grace. Or we can continue to try to cover our sins, make excuses for our sins, rename our sins, and not confess our sins. And those sins will be brought to light in judgment when he comes again. Thus, Jesus said in verse 18, take care, be very careful how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Sobering words from the lips of Jesus. What's he saying? Those who receive the words of Jesus with humility, not perfection, but humility and faith in Jesus, and the teachableness that we heard about last week, illustrated by the good and fruitful soil in the parable of the sower, those will receive more of the blessings of Christ's salvation. If you have a humble heart before Jesus and open hands, the open hands of faith and receptivity to his word, then you're going to experience blessings beyond all you could ask or think. Like the illustration he used earlier in Luke's gospel of the grain being poured out and just overflowing in your lap. You can't contain it all. But the one who refuses Christ, as he is revealed in the gospel, will lose any truth and any blessing that he currently enjoys. All the more reason for us to shine our light. Look, the Christian lives with various emotions going on, right, in our lives. Amen. Yeah. Okay. But like good emotions, we have peace, right? We have peace with God. We have peace that passes understanding. We have patience. We trust God. We trust his timing. We trust his plan. But there also needs to be an urgency in our lives, a sense of urgency, because people around us are perishing. And so we have to, we can all fall into this lethargy of, okay, I'm good with God. It's great. But what about your neighbor? What about the world around us? Do we care for their salvation as well? We're called to shine the light of the good news of Jesus, how we live our life, how we love our spouse, how we raise our children, how we love our neighbor, how we fulfill our vocations, how we enjoy our avocations, our hobbies, our engagements with the culture around us, and how we tell the world about Jesus. Can you imagine Martin Luther studying the scriptures? And he comes to see grace. Over time, it's a process, but he comes to understand free grace in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Luther said that the scriptures are the cradle in which Christ has been laid. He finds Christ in the cradle, the manger of Scripture. And then Luther says, well, praise God, I'm saved. And the thought crosses his mind, maybe I should tell others about this, but he says, no, it's too risky. I'm going to get my head lopped off. I'm going to get burned at the stake as John Huss was about 100 years ago and others have been. So at the very least, I'm going to get excommunicated. So I'm going to keep this to myself. That's like almost impossible to imagine Luther doing that, right? Where would we be if he had done that? Well, we wouldn't be celebrating Reformation Day, I can tell you that much. It should be just as unimaginable to us to receive the light of Jesus Christ, His love, His grace, His gospel, Jesus Himself, and keep Him to ourselves. Let us not keep Him to ourselves. Let us know the joy, the happy privilege of shining His light in the lives of others, those who presently dwell in deep darkness, that they may come into the kingdom of God's Son, that they may be delivered from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of God's Son and of His eternal light. Let's pray and ask the Lord more and more to help us do that with the gifts He's given us and with the people He's placed in our lives and with the opportunities He's given us, that others might know that post Tenebras Luke's reality that we have come to know by grace in Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.